Good morning. Welcome to the morning show on this fine Tuesday morning with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine.
Good morning, Phil.
And we are delighted today to have a couple of very special guests in the room. Julie, would you like to introduce them?
I certainly would. We've got Gaia Swinford and Janae Dale from the Bonner County Gardeners Association. Good morning, Gaia.
Good morning.
And Janae.
Good morning.
We're very pleased to have you here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got a really interesting show this morning. We're going to be talking about the Bonner County Gardeners Association as well as their upcoming garden tour and sort of all things gardening related to this association. But before that, let's take a look at the weather and what's been happening outdoors.
Yeah, we've certainly turned the corner, which we seem to do right at or just before July 4th every year. We've seemingly left the cooler weather of springtime, June, for the hotter weather of July. It's going to be a high of 87 degrees today, a low of 56 tonight, with mostly sunny skies. And that's going to repeat itself for Wednesday, Thursday, and it looks like Friday, all the way through, highs in the 80s and lows in the 50s. And it's summertime, time for the barbecue season.
It's crazy, though. I've got my wool vest on, and I'm going to have my swimsuit on later today. I know that.
Yeah, that's that low of 50s.
That's Idaho. Yeah. Phil, what have you been doing in the last week?
Well, we tried to get out most every weekend, of course, and this one was no exception. We did a little putzing around in our own garden and a little hiking.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm sure the listeners remember that last week we had Tom Dabrowski from the Idaho Trails Association joining us, and he was recommending that we would consider volunteering for trail maintenance. And my husband Daniel and I found we were free that Saturday, last Saturday, and we joined them on the Beehive Trail. And I'll tell you what, it's a fun group. The work is not too hard, and you get to see some new terrain and feel good after having helped out.
That's great. I'm glad you did that. That's wonderful. As a hiker, we appreciate people who work on trails.
It was fun, and we really enjoyed it, and we felt like we did some good. So
a lot of people are turning their attention to their gardens, whether they're raising vegetables or landscaping, or our cherry trees in the backyard are about to burst forth with another year's crop. So this is a perfect time to have in folks from the Bonner County Gardeners Association talk about the upcoming events, including the home tour.
Yes. Would you like to start us off with a quote or just head into the questions?
Well, the quote from Claude Monet is particularly aptly, "My garden is my most perfect masterpiece." Quite a statement from Monet.
I would say so. Well, that's a tough act to follow for these ladies, but we're going to try. Let's begin and ask, how did you all come into being? How did the Gardeners Association come into being?
Well, I'd have to give you some history.
That's fine.
In 1996, the people who were the master gardeners at the University of Idaho's Extension Office in Bonner County decided to organize and form an association. They had a constitution, bylaws, officers, committees, annual dues, a regular formal association. This association, they called themselves the Bonner County Master Gardeners, functioned as a group with most of the members of the annual Master Gardener classes. Every year they would join that group. So that's how they continued to get members. The group functioned with the plant clinic and was very active and participated in lots of community activities. And then in 2009, the University of Idaho made the decision to no longer have an organized Master Gardener Association as part of their program, and the association was disbanded.
Mm.
But the members still wanted to keep their association somehow. We really enjoyed that group and the camaraderie and what we were doing. So in 2010, most of the members formed a new group, a new association. We were separate from the University of Idaho. We wrote a new constitution, new bylaws, new mission statement, and our motto was and is education, community, and camaraderie.
That's nice. That's a good motto.
So this is sort of a regrowth of the Master Gardeners.
Yes.
A new blooming.
A new blooming. Excellent. Thank you so much. Yes. We rented an office, secured a phone, developed a website. We bought insurance, obtained a 501c3 status, and became the BCGA.
That's a big undertaking.
Yes, it really was.
You mentioned your motto and a mission statement. Do you have the mission statement? Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I do. If you'd care, if you don't mind, I'll read it to you.
That would be great.
The Bonner County Gardeners Association is an organization of qualified volunteers who provide educational programs and community service in home horticulture for Bonner County. Our members provide volunteer leadership and educational service in home gardening to the general public. We offer assistance, provide classes and workshops, give horticultural talks, and assist with community beautification projects.
That's a lot. That's a big mission.
Yes.
I know we're going to hear more about upcoming events later. I won't touch on those now, but what an interesting group. Can you tell us more about the current profile of this Gardeners Association, how many people, et cetera?
Well, currently we have 87 members, and the members, most of them come to us through a class that we offer. We have always tried to be, as carryover from the Master Gardener program, we've always tried to be a science-based organization. So rather than a garden club, just as a garden, although we are certainly, we function as a garden club as well, it's science-based information that we're interested in.
So when I think of the Master Gardeners or groups that are patterned after like the Master Forest Stewards, oftentimes the members are accepted in after some level of training and they're committed to a certain number of volunteer hours afterwards. Is that model carrying forward? Are the members doing that?
Well, kind of. We do part of it. We definitely require that they have some training. That's why we offer this class every February and March. There's a full-time class. Well, it's 2 days a week class that's taught. And when people complete that course, we use the actual Master Gardener's Manual from the University of Idaho. Hmm. When that class is completed, then people are eligible to join the association. And most of them do. Most of them choose to join. We don't require any particular number of volunteer hours. We tried that for a while and decided that really wasn't what we wanted to do, that we need what the idea should be is that we offer enough activities that if a person is a member, they want to be involved, and therefore they will participate.
I would think that would happen over time. I'd like to hear how you both came to the organization. Gail, we haven't heard from you yet.
Well, my late husband and I moved to Sandpoint in 2006. I can't believe it's been 10 years. And the next year, I have a friend who's was very active, Don Childress. You may know him. And so I wanted to meet people, and so I joined the association. I love gardening, and in Sacramento, California, it's a very different environment for plants and vegetables and so forth. So I joined, and then I was active for a few years, and then got into volunteering in other ways. And so this year, then I began, yes, I would really like to associate again with this wonderful group of people.
Wonderful. And Janae, how about you?
Well, we moved here in 2001, and I joined I became a Master Gardener in the year 2003, and found that I really enjoyed the other people particularly. That was the key thing for me, was to be able to have that camaraderie with a group of people who have the same passions about gardening as myself. So
are there regular club meetings, events, get-togethers?
Yes, we have a monthly meeting, and then we have lots of committees, lots of activities that way. The favorite, of course, are all the potlucks that we have, because everybody is everybody who gardens seems to be a great cook, and they bring such wonderful dishes to the potlucks, and we try and do those fairly often. We started them as summertime things, just so that people could see each other's garden as well, and we missed each other during the winter, so now we also have winter potlucks.
That's really nice.
Yeah. How does someone become a member if they're interested?
Well, we have several ways of joining. One of them is, as I mentioned, to take this membership class that we have in February and March every year. And then if a person has already completed a Master Gardener program anywhere, they can become a member. Or if they have a degree in biology, of course, or botany, rather, if they have a degree in botany or something, have been active as professionals in the nursery industry, then they could certainly join.
I'm in, guys.
Good. welcome you with open arms.
Yes, definitely.
That's great. Well, what is the current status of the group? Is it growing? I know it's growing by one. Gaia, you joined again.
Yes, of course.
Yes, it is growing. We seem to have a general increase, particularly from the membership group, from the membership class. That's where most of our members come in. But we have other people who join, too, who have come to this area. Their gardening is their passion. They've moved to Idaho and find, as everybody does, that gardening here is much different. And so it's a... it's a good group to be with to learn.
And so to be clear for listeners who might be their first exposure to your organization, gardening is both landscaping as well as vegetables and fruits?
Definitely, yes. It's everything from composting, garden vegetables, the whole flower thing. We have several people, several members who they don't do vegetable gardens, but they're really great with their flower gardens. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
One of the things that excites me is that in a group like this, let's say you don't know how to extend a season. So you learn from each other and you take the classes that can extend a season a month on each end, because we have a very slow, short growing season here, or how to use native plants. And then we know that there's a Native Plant Association, so there's, you know, you get in the conversation of gardening, and then it broadens as you learn about the community. So that's one of the highlights of the group, in my opinion.
Well, it leads me into a question that I have for you. I understand there's plenty of cross-pollination between the groups. I know. I'll work on my jokes, but that's one of them. And the question, though, is how do you compare or how do you work with or differ from the groups such as the Native Plant Society or maybe the Extension Service, if you person might call the county? I imagine you're quite different from that group. Do you find that you work together or you sort of...
We do definitely work together. We try and share information back and forth anytime there's things going on, anytime we've come up with some new plan or even what our organizations are doing or classes that we may be having. We certainly share back and forth that information with the Native Plant Society and with the Extension Office.
Yeah, maybe guest speakers from time to time, I would think, yeah.
So I want to hear more about how to extend the season.
Beyond June 15th, because I had a freeze on June 15th, you guys, in my garden. Yeah. That's late.
Oh, that is late. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have these pockets of warmth and cool in the area. You know, we call them banana belts all the way up to Hope, where my girlfriend can grow peaches and I can't at all over there in Dover. So, well, we use local resources for a great deal. We have farms, beautiful farms. There was a farm tour last week, and incredible gardeners who have devoted themselves to the land, who love it here, and who have invested in hoop houses and so forth to extend the season. And I think you just take a class, Phil.
Yeah.
And then we'll teach you.
So I know the answer is way more involved than a simple question. And maybe the way to look at it for someone who maybe has just moved to our areas, what are some of the unique challenges that they face in Bonner County if they've come from some other part of the country? What are the things that might not be apparent to them?
I know one thing, cool nights. It's much different even from Minnesota.
Well, I've still been covering my tomatoes and my lettuces with just the cloth lately because the evenings have been so cool over the last 2 weeks. Now everything's free form and it's like, okay, it's your turn. The sun is upon you. Grow.
That's right.
There's the ever present threat of hail, at least through this time of year. And I remember one of the first years we were here, June 19th, we had a hailstorm came through and destroyed about half the plants we had put in, including some tomato plants, and it stunted the others. The ones that survived, I let continue to grow, but they didn't do nearly as well as the replants.
We had hail last week on my deck in Dover.
Wow.
Yeah.
But how does one doesn't really plan for hail, do they? It's kind of one of those acts of God. It's not like a freeze warning.
No, you just stand inside, look out your windows, look at your plants and say, oh, no, please survive. And then when the hail's over, you go out and you see that the petunias have all limped. And the
so true.
We just, it's just what it is up here. But that's part of the joy of being a gardener is that every day is different. Your plants have actual personalities. I know that sounds maybe strange to someone who isn't a gardener, but we live with the outside here, and that's what I love about the garden tour. We'll talk about that in a few moments, but, you know, I don't want to live up here and just live in my house.
No.
And I don't want to just take a walk. I want to know what that tree is and what's that blossom, and there's so much I don't know, but you just start somewhere.
And it sounds like this group is a good group to be able to help with that.
Very much so.
I find it is challenging having only lived here a year, and I think there are questions for me about things like soil types, animals that love the garden more than they used to where I live. Lots of garden questions.
Absolutely. And you can have your soil tested through our organization, and, you know, when to plant, talking about extending and when you can plant. And most of us, now that we've done this several years, plant as early as we possibly can, cover with the cloth and plastic, make little tiny hoop houses or great big ones, and then talk to each other about, well, how are your tomatoes? Yeah. Did they grow 2 inches? Oh, no, you know, mine aren't growing at all. And so it, like Janae said, it forms community.
It seems like there's a little bit of experimentation to it also. I know after 14 years of putting in a garden each spring, we're finally trying to figure out what is working and what isn't working. And so it's just playing around with the specifics of the location.
Mm-hmm. And it really is fun.
Absolutely.
Your home tour is coming up. I know we're all very much waiting to hear about that. And I imagine that might be a little different kind of tour, not so much vegetables, more landscape planting, or am I wrong about that?
Well, it is primarily landscape planting. However, we do have several gardens where there are vegetable gardens and beautiful landscaping, and I'll tell you about those.
I'd love to hear about them.
Well, we did not have a tour last year, so everybody get ready. This is a very exciting tour. We have 8 gardens this year, and we've done something unusual, and we're sure that it's going to be successful, and that is we have a large range, in other words, distance from all the way over from Garfield Bay, 3 amazing gardens landscaped with terraces, 1 right off Bottle Bay Road, 2 in downtown, and 2 out in Ponderay, and I'll tell you about those.
That sounds great. Let's hear about them.
Okay. Let's start at Homestead Farm on Providence Road out by Ponderay. And this was a 1913 homestead where 3 generations have lived. And so the owners have reclaimed this property, built an amazing barn, and their home is in part of the barn. It's only about 1,000 square feet home. And they have 2 donkeys, a beautiful horse, fenced, everything fenced. So you get greeted by these miniature donkeys that are the sweetest. Then you have a chicken coop, which looks like Mary Jane's farm.
Oh,
it is delightful. And then they both have worked very hard on this amazing raised bed vegetable garden, and it's a sight to see. So that is the first property, and it shows the harmonious relationship really between these gardens and the lifestyle of these amazing people.
So that one sounds as though food gardening is integrated with beauty and livestock and everything, a kind of a modest homestead that's maybe pretty sustainable, self-sustaining.
Attempt to be sustainable.
It sounds like a place that could have been on the farm tour as well as the garden tour.
It could have.
Yeah, that sounds
probably
like
not
a great
as
one.
Big, but it's definitely yes. And then the next one right down the road is on Ponder Point. And this is a neighborhood, so it's a very different feel. And they have a multifunctional landscape, which means that they have edible plants planted near and in the beds with ornamentals.
I have to see that one. Mm-hmm. I love that concept.
So it's nourishing and beautiful.
Yeah, but it's in a suburban area, you
it
said.
Is.
So relatively small garden, would you say, Gaya? Or?
It's a big lot. Wouldn't you say two lots, maybe?
Yes, it's about almost double lot size. Mm-hmm.
And so there are 20 medicinal culinary herbs and 12 types of fruiting shrubs. And I saw the beautiful new greenhouse that's exquisite, so she can extend her season both directions.
Yes. I wonder if they would have some companion plants in there as well. That seems mm-hmm. common in that mm-hmm. kind of garden. Mm-hmm. I'm learning about that, so I'll have to put that on my list as well.
That's very important, and the homeowner will be there.
Are some of those things special for this year, or are they showcasing a long-time project they've been working on?
This garden is an established garden, although every year is something new. And that, I think, nice. You'd find with all of the gardeners, because they really put a tremendous amount of time and energy into this tour. And even though we tell them it doesn't have to be perfect, people like to see something in progress. When I go by, they spend hours preparing for this garden tour. So they really are giving back to the community, and we really hope that you all will come and support the tour.
That's right. We'll continue on, but let's just take a moment and have either Gaya or Janae tell us how people can join the tour or contact you all as a group.
Okay.
You have a website, I know.
I think Gaya probably should speak to that. She has the information on that.
All right.
This year, as in all years, you can buy a ticket, $10 ticket, at any garden. So you can start the tour anywhere you want to start. And this year, it might be exciting to start in the Sagal area, have an ice cream cone at Odie's, or lunch at Bottle Bay, and then come on in through town. You can always do it the other way, start in the Ponderay area. So you can buy the ticket the day of the event at the gardens or online at the bcgardeners.org.
Website.
And yeah. You can buy a ticket online, print it out, and PayPal, pay for it by PayPal.
And so you don't need reservations. You can just show up the day of.
No.
Well, that couldn't be any easier. That's great.
Absolutely.
And affordable. That's a great, great value.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio from North Idaho, and we're talking about the Home Garden Tour and the Bonner County Gardeners Association this morning with Gaya and Janae. And we're taking a fabulous audio tour of some of the upcoming stops on the Home Garden Tour.
It's not easy to describe a garden on the radio, is it? But you're doing a fine job, Gaya. Why don't you continue?
Well, actually, I have to say I have a bit of a cheat sheet, because each of the gardeners has had to give us a description that is printed in the program, along with a map on how to get to the gardens.
Oh, good.
We make it as easy as possible.
And we could find that online as well?
Online at all? Yes,
going.
You can
Perfect.
Do that. The next garden is Le Petit Jardin, and it's in Sandpoint itself, the little garden. And it's a beautiful new home in South Sandpoint on 4th Avenue, as I said. And so if one has a very small space to garden, this would be more of a cottage garden. But it's lush and beautifully done, framed by a graceful pagoda. She lives near an alley. They live near an alley, and so they've even gone down into the alley and planted. So the whole area is beautiful for the neighbors as well.
Oh, another very interesting and different style of garden, and that would be a wonderful one to see. Sandpoint is so full of small lots, small houses.
Very much.
Make a great example for people thinking mm-hmm. of doing something with their
What a wonderful
property.
Idea, extending landscaping to the alley.
I was astounded, and, you know, it's generous, isn't it, to
it
think
is.
Of that?
Mm-hmm. It is. Does that, Gaia, do you know if that one, that garden is a combination of edibles and?
I don't believe this one is. I think these are annuals and perennials, shrubs right. and trees, window boxes. It has a beautiful little patio.
Lovely.
You just want to have a cup of tea, you know, in one of those gardens.
Or a glass of wine, maybe.
Oh, wine. Let's do wine. The next is called My Happy Place, and it's right on the lake. It is stunning. And this gardener has blooming all year. So this is one of those learning gardens as well where, you know, you have crocus, you have daffodils right after the snow. Then we have tulips and hyacinth. And then we have rhododendrons and columbine and lilies and roses and hostas as the summer approaches, and then we go into fall. So one can really learn from this gardener how to have blooming all season, all year, and it's a beautiful experience to walk through this garden, actually through their amazing home, through the garden, and then down to the lake where it's also landscaped. It's just so refreshing. I love this garden.
And, you know, it's quite a challenge to have a garden that's interesting throughout the season, isn't it? And it takes planning and it takes some knowledge, expertise, knowledge of your site. So that would be really a learning garden for folks, as you've said.
Exactly. And this homeowner will be home and it will be learning because she knows the name of every plant and every how it blooms and how she fertilizes it. She's just so amazing.
It's too bad we only have the one day to see that garden, but we'll hear about it.
So are most of the folks who are featuring their gardens walking through and doing like a docent guided tour?
Yes. There will be a member of the association taking tickets and sitting at a table to welcome you. And most of the gardeners will be home and very willing and interested in showing you what they've planted. And again, it's learning, it's beauty, it's a relaxing day. You have to take the whole day this year because it's 10 to 5 on Sunday, July 17th.
That's not even an hour per garden, Gaia. And if you go for ice cream, you'll have easily used your day up.
I'm telling you, plan the day.
That's right.
Yeah, plus some drive time between places.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's an easy day's activity. I will schedule the entire day out. Block it out. Who else do we have?
Who's next? Blue Heron. This is on Birch Banks Road in Sagal. You take Bottle Bay, turn to the left as you're going out of town on 95, and then it's right there on the slough. And this is a garden of vignettes. It's pockets and trails and terraces down to the lake, to the slough as well. She has Japanese contorted filberts, black pines, goat's beard, tamarisk, umbrella trees, just plants that you might not see or know. There's a waterfall, a flowering symphony going on in this garden. It is just exquisite. And there's height, there's little tiny flowers on the ground, ground coverings, and you really want to smell and touch this garden. It's beautiful. The next garden.
Hang on just a second.
Oh, we have questions.
Well, this garden sounds like it has some very unique plant materials, but additionally, it has tactile qualities, and it also sounds like there's an architectural quality about this garden that might be something of interest for us. And that's really fun to see the spatial qualities of an outdoor landscape.
It is. She has steps and pools and waters and fountains as you wander through, and she does have a small vegetable garden to the side.
So there's a lot of what we might call hardscaping, the landscaping form and function, not just the plants to look at.
Yeah.
How fabulous.
A little bit of everything on this tour, isn't it?
It's a wonderful tour.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
The final three are a drive. They are worth it. We don't usually go this far, but these are exceptional. you probably won't have a chance to see gardens like these because you're not going to drive past the Bird Museum many times to go to see a garden that far. And they're interesting because they have they're on hills or sides of rolling hills. You know, that country over there is a bit rolling, and so that makes it very interesting for pathways and terraces and trees and surprises around every turn. Let's see. The next one is on McLean Drive, and all of these gardens will have signs. You won't get lost. So you enter through a very artistic steel and copper gate, and then you come to large boulders that have been brought in with shrubs around them and flowers lining the driveway. And then you can wander up the hillside path where you see trees and perennials and ground covers. Then there's a lawn period. It's right on the bay. It's a Glencarrie Bay. Mm. And so you look out and you can see Hope across the bay. It's a little protected spot. And so there's a lawn. Then there's pathways with bridges, so she has shade. They have shade. These gardeners work 8 hours a day in this garden. It's exquisite.
Oh, my
Without
word.
Without buildings. They have shade-loving plants in one area, ferns and violets and native bunch berries. And then on their beautiful stone patio, they invite you afterwards for refreshments because you've come such a long way. And enjoy the views of Lake Ponderay.
What could be finer?
Gail, that sounds like a design of a landscape that's working to integrate the natural world, the more native environment with the built environment. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah, that sounds like another, again, different and also very interesting garden. Wonderful.
Yes, I loved it because of the different pathways. It's a large acreage, several acres.
So we're on a, probably on an entirely different scale with this garden.
We are.
Fun.
Out here. Fun. Out in these gardens. It's you're in nature.
Wonderful.
You're in the forest. And you're
also in a garden environment.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Two more.
The next one, Peaceful Retreat. This is in Glengarrie Bay Road. And it's a beautiful setting, and these owners have added their own touch to an existing garden that they inherited when they moved there. There's a beautiful terrace patio, and beyond that is a big pond and a fountain. They have grass planted, but it's a really thick, different kind of grass. I don't know what it is, but they would tell you. So there's some shade under some of the beautiful trees, and lavenders and shrubs. So you've got a backdrop of the beautiful trees and shrubs with plants meandering through. And then they have this amazing garden fenced in, of course, for the deers, and a berry garden that they're very proud of. So they have new raised beds, which provide fresh produce, and then they preserve the excess for winter.
So it's an example of someone who's really producing some food.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
nice.
It sounds like the last couple gardens out on the Sagal Peninsula are maybe conforming more to the natural setting and incorporating some of the sense of place that the Sagal Peninsula is.
That's a very good point, Phil. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's so unique to go there. And the last one is Gemini Gardens, and it's on Garfield Bay Road. So it's nestled at the base of Grouse Mountain, and it's actually the gateway to Garfield Bay. And it's a park-like garden that has provided 32 years of delight as a working garden. So this is a must-see. You talk about what is new and what is old mm-hmm. and what has worked and hasn't. These gardeners would be able to share that with you. There are curving pathways surrounding seven large, interestingly shaped and expansive what they call cottage-style cutting gardens.
Wow.
I know. I mean, I think that's neat. Sometimes I get so frustrated with vegetables, I think, I'm just going to plant flowers next year
yeah.
and go to the farmer's market, which I also want to promote. is going to the farmer's market.
Yes, we'll get to that. But what another interesting style of garden, an English cutting garden. We've had a French, tiny little French garden. This is great.
A homestead with horses, and a horse and little donkeys that are the cutest donkeys you ever saw.
It's from A to Z. I love it.
It is. And then finally, for this garden, there are a variety of shrubs, high bushes, small trees, which provide bird habitat. So you're going to see nature, and you're going to see how gardeners prevent deer from coming in and what they plant.
And yet landscape for animals, but not to the detriment of the garden. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful choice for us to look at.
Mm-hmm. And this home really concentrates on that with the bird habitat. They have the driftwood, rock walls with niches for chipmunks.
Oh, wow.
So that concludes the descriptions of our gardens. Please come and join us on Sunday, July 17th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The tickets are $10, and you can buy them at any garden that day or at BC, which stands for Bonner County Gardeners.org.
So if someone wants to show up the day of, is there a way to find out the addresses of the locations? That's posted online, I suppose.
Yes, and these posters are going to be posted all over town, and it shows the name of the homeowner and the address, and they're bright orange.
Yeah, you can't miss them.
No.
There will be excellent signage for each one of the gardens, too, as you approach and then at the garden itself. So even just a short drive, you'll come across, if you go into any one of those areas, you'll come across one of the signs, and it'll lead you right to that garden.
So you could just drive into Sandpoint and stop here first, pick up a ticket and the addresses, and go from there.
Exactly. That's right.
And map.
Yeah, and a map.
Will there be plenty of the orange posters at the gardens if one were to arrive at one garden? No. So you should maybe make the
program itself, mm-hmm. that you get your ticket.
Oh,
that
supplies.
You get is a program, gives all the addresses and the map.
Perfect. Very good. So really, you just need to get your first one.
So we're going to take a short musical break because that was an exhausting tour. And then when we're all rested, we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the Home Garden Tour, other upcoming events from the Bonner County Gardeners Association. If you're just tuning in the studio with us today is Gaia Swinford and Janae Dale. And we're going to listen to a little bit of Ricky Nelson and the Garden Party. It seemed like an appropriate song for the day. Ricky Nelson with the Garden Party. Welcome back to the morning show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. And we're here talking about the Bonner County Garden Association and the Home Garden Tour with Gaia and Janae. And boy, that was an exciting audio tour we took of the various homes on the tour coming up on July 17th.
Really was. I'll just quickly mention that for those of you who are listening far away, you can always join us online at krfy.org. And if you miss part or most of this morning's broadcast, you can always go to our podcast, same place, krfy.org. Well, Gaia and Janae, that was a wonderful explanation of the gardens. And during the break, Phil had mentioned that he would be interested in knowing about how are these gardens selected? Is it a little competitive? How do you do it? It seems like a tough job to find those special gardens.
Well, this year we inherited a well-oiled machine from Penny, our chair of the Always the Garden Tours, and she has just set it up so beautifully that it was easy and made some recommendations. So we started with a few that she had suggested, and we went to visit them. So what happens is that because we're in the garden community, people will suggest, oh, go here, go see this garden, so-and-so. So that's primarily how we find them. And then the co-chair, Pat Congleton, lives in Sagal. She has one of the homes on the tour, and she had two neighbors.
Ah.
So, you know, it just evolves. And what we would like to say is that if you have a garden that you would love to share with the community, contact us, please. It's not anything magical. It's not competitive.
So you don't have to be a member to have your garden featured on the home tour?
No, you don't. Okay.
No, although no. I imagine one might want to join the association after they'd been toured by all the wonderful gardeners. So much to learn.
Yeah.
And another, the other thing that I would like to mention is that we should get out to those Sagal Gardens because we really will not have a chance to see them again soon, and very unique gardens. And as Gaia points out, free ice cream is always a draw in Garfield Bay. So let's get to those gardens, everyone. I think that'd be worth visiting. Well, tell us a bit about your upcoming events.
Well, we'll be planning our classes for fall. We usually have a series of classes for the public in the spring and then again in the fall. We'll be meeting to set up those classes. We haven't planned them yet, so I can't tell you what the upcoming classes might be. But they're always on general gardening, that different ideas that we think the public would enjoy. At our classes, we have an evaluation filled out, and at the bottom of that evaluation, we ask, what classes would you like to see? And so we read through that list and try and provide classes for those things that are suggested by the people who attend.
What are some of the popular classes?
Well, extending the season, yes. Of course, that's definitely one. We have a class, not every time, but perhaps once every 2 years, we have a class on basic beginning gardening because we have so many new people who move to North Idaho, and as we've said, it really is different trying to garden here. There's lots of information that we can give someone to help them be more successful. So that's a popular class. Composting is always a big one.
Do you have a class on how to keep the moose out of the gardens?
No.
Moose-free gardening.
Because moose, there is no way. If a moose is going to come in your garden, it doesn't matter if he's going to come in your garden. You just hope he won't.
And ironically here, that's a city problem as much as an out-of-city problem.
It certainly is. Yeah. I was helping at the school garden at the charter school a couple of years ago, and when we checked the garden toward midsummer, the cabbage were gone. And there were pictures of the moose in the garden eating the cabbage. They didn't eat anything else, but we had no cabbage.
Moose like cabbage.
Yeah. He needed vitamin C.
I think that must be it. A lot of our classes, though, can be on specialty things. We've had classes in the past and will again on hardscape, just as Gaia has mentioned in so many of these beautiful gardens. We've had classes on growing tomatoes, because that seems to be a real favorite for everyone.
I imagine.
So a dahlia class. We've had classes on how to make your compost. That's really a popular one.
So lots of information. I know you mentioned the farmer's market.
Yes, we're big supporters of the farmer's market, of course, and we indeed have a booth there once a month. Mm. Where
a good way
we
to
answer
meet some
questions.
Of you all. Yeah, a great way to have an easy introduction.
Yes, so that's another place where people, you know, if they're interested at all in the organization, we have a presence there once a month. They certainly can stop by the booth and
they can
ask
also stop
there.
By and find out general information about their garden. And
that's the purpose. Mm-hmm. It's a question and answer booth.
And I understand you're going to be at the fair?
Yes, we're working on the design for our booth at the fair, where we try and, you know, that's a community thing that we like to be involved in and like to participate in, and try and have some educational point in our booth to help the community.
And is it question and answer there as well? Can we bring our questions and you'll work on helping us answer them?
Definitely. We have people at the booth almost all the time that it's open, and that's what they will be doing, is answering the questions.
Well, what a wonderful resource for the community. We want to thank you for coming in today. We're running a little short on time. Are there any last-minute thoughts for the audience?
I have one comment. Next year's garden is always perfect.
That's a
nice way to end. Yes. Yeah,
thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you, Gaia.
Really
thank you, Janae.
So again, Gaia and Janae, we want to thank you and the Bonner County Garden Association, for joining us this morning. Everyone, please come to the tour, and that's on July 17th. You'll see them at the Sandpoint Farmers Market and again at the Bonner County Fair. And we just want to thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. We're going to take a short musical break with some Sugar Magnolia by the Grateful Dead. And then Julie and I will be back and we'll talk a little bit about upcoming community events. Sugar Magnolia by the Grateful Dead. Welcome back to the morning show. We were just talking all about the garden tour.
They were great, weren't they, Phil?
It sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to be out of town, but I know it looks like, Julie, you're excited to go.
I'm definitely putting it on my schedule. I cannot wait to see a beautiful variety of gardens in the area. It's going to help my understanding of the landscape in the area. So wonderful.
Well, July is always an exciting month. And, of course, coming up this next weekend, we have the long 4th of July weekend. And for folks in and around Sandpoint, that means two things, parades and fireworks. If you want to come down and watch the parade, it starts at 10 o'clock. I think the children's parade starts at 9:30. And then in the evening, the 4th of July fireworks at City Beach, all that's sponsored by the Lions Club. They do a great job with that.
And a long weekend. What a great 4th of July weekend. And the weather sounds like it's going to be perfect.
Then in Clark Fork, all day, there's a 4th of July festivities going on there as well with a parade at 9 and then outdoor festivals and booths all day. It's just a wonderful bit of our culture of our region.
Let's get out there and enjoy the 4th. But before that, there are a couple of things you might want to check out. On the 29th, we've got the Idaho Walk Bike Alliance fundraiser. And that's at the Idaho Poor Authority, 203 Cedar Street. And they're hosting a fundraiser for the Idaho Walk Bike Alliance with Sockeye Brewing Beer on Tap, held from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. And there will be a silent auction, raffle, prizes, complimentary appetizers and live music with Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. There's a pre-event ride with the Pondere Peddlers, and that starts at 3:30 p.m., so you can get a little exercise. One other thing you might want to check out would be on the 30th, that's Yappy Hour, and that will be at the Pine Street Bakery. Let's get you a time for that. It would be from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. And then finally, I think everyone would want to catch the Summer Sampler. That's this coming Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. And it's considered a foodie's paradise. And each summer, the Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce gathers the best of Sandpoint's restaurants in one locale for the annual Summer Sampler. This year's event is taking place from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. And it's on the 30th at Farm and Park. So I take back Saturday. It was Thursday, not Saturday. All right, Phil, what's going on with the radio station?
So we've got a couple of upcoming morning shows. This is the first of the week. Tomorrow's morning show on Wednesday, June 29th. Join hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Perez. Their guests will be Nicole Grimm and Gina Woodruff from the Bonner Partners for Care. That's 8 o'clock right here at 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. On Thursday, June 30th, at 8 o'clock, hosts Jack Peterson's morning show. His guests will include John Edwards and Steve Holt from the Eureka Institute. They'll be talking about their upcoming Summerfest event. And then next Tuesday, Julie and I will be back, July 5th, joining us for the start of the work week after a long weekend at 8 a.m. We're going to have a really exciting show. Our guests will be Bill Love, Doug Bradich, and Nancy Reck, who will be talking about the history of timber in North Idaho.
That sounds interesting.
Well, we certainly, our area has a close association with the timber industry and its growth and its history. It should be very interesting. And I know all three of those individuals personally. They have a lot to share and a lot of passion.
And it really relates to how we use our landscape and our area out here. Timber's had a big impact on the land.
It does. It is. So good. That's also at 8 o'clock right here at 88.5 KRFY. As always, if you've enjoyed today's show and you want to hear it again or you missed part, you can tune in to or you can go to our website, krfy.org, and listen to the podcast. It'll be up in another day or so. And if you are out of town next week and want to hear this exciting show or later this week, you can listen to us live streaming at krfy.org. We're going to take us out with a little bit from the number one album, the title track of the number one album in 1974, I believe it was, The Eagles, One of These Nights.